Good morning, everyone. I'm going to try to introduce this by floundering around a bit in the subject of what are we talking about when we talk about resilience, sustainability, public health, prevention, some of these other wonderful and important issues. And at the same time, I'm also going to try to introduce the Gulf Region Health Outreach Program, which until recently I was the original director of the coordinator, head of the coordinating committee, and you're going to hear a lot of other things about that. So you're going to hear about both of these subjects from people who are going to be a lot more directed toward giving you specific answers. I'm going to try to raise some of the questions and give some overviews. Let's see. Okay, I've got no relationships to disclose. There's not a commercial thing here. I want to emphasize at first that there is not just discussion about what these words are, but there's actual movement ahead in trying to do something that really will inform how our agencies, how our government works, and how we go about doing our business. This is an example. It's a it's an Institute of Medicine, National Academy of Science report that looks at looks at a framework for sustainability for the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency that was requested by EPA and is being worked out by EPA and is said to be a green book to replace the red book of risk assessment. It won't replace it. Risk assessment will still be there, but it's the next step forward. So as we talk about these things, we realize that there is actually the opportunity to make things happen. But sustainability is an interesting issue, and you know, what do we mean when we talk about sustainability and resilience and public health? And I would argue that the definitions are important, but they're really only important if they're mediated by planning so we can get to some action. And that's where we really need to be at these kind of discussions. How do we get to action on this? Well, partly it's understanding what these things are. And there's an enormous relationship. I had my flu shot last week. I hope you've all gotten your flu shot. My flu shot is obviously public health. It's obviously prevention. It helps my resilience. And I would argue that as the community gets its flu shots, as we should as communities, it helps the sustainability resilience of the community. We can use each of these terms if we wanted to and discuss each of these. I'm 74 now. I would love to have the perhaps 6 months or a year of my life back that I have spent in discussions of how do you define environmental health in committee meetings. Now, you know, there's a certain point in which we have to go about and do these things and see what works best together. Now, there's a lot of people who've really thought very carefully about this. So I'm basically going to build on things that, say, Nicole Lurie, who is now in Department of Health and Human Services, working these things through and is basically making these kind of things happen. There are many others, Howard Frumkin and others, who have thought carefully about where we're going to go on this, Christy Ebby. So what you're going to hear from me is more of bringing in some of the outside folks who've talked about it to try to come up with some ideas. And since this is a quick overview, I'm going to talk about mostly what engineers have said, because I think that in public health we must really be able to look at what others are saying about these issues. And here's Joseph Fixel, who runs a Resilience Institute at Ohio State, and he talks about sustainability, the capacity for long-term realization of health and well-being and economic prosperity and environmental protection, sort of the standard thing. But then says, well, however, unforeseen conditions can impose on our approaches, and for that, resilience really is the capacity to survive and adapt and work through these unforeseen situations, that these potential disruptions, and there will be a disruption. And it's resilience really is a prerequisite for achieving sustainability. You can think about the concepts of resilience, and again, they're put out in many different ways, but again, here's a group of engineers, seismologists, physicists, really, who were sort of asked to look at, well, how would a hospital survive? And what are the resilience concepts of acute hospitals? So we have folks from outside our field looking in to what we're supposed to be doing and coming up with good sets of criteria. It's how robust we are. We need redundancy. We need resourcefulness. We need rapidity to be able to respond to the various threats that we have. And they're all concepts that are part of resilience. There are other issues as well. John Balbus is going to talk about adaptation and mitigation. What do we mean by those terms? How do they fit in? We can put lots of things in there. Howard Frumkin's pointed out that our standard definition of public health differs from sustainability in the sense that in our standard definition of health, we don't have a time concept. In sustainability, there's always that time concept of looking for the future. Now, of course, we do think of time. I mean, what's maternal and child health, if not that? We have there are attributes of sustainability that we do very well, or at least we should do well. Multidisciplinary approaches, models and metrics that facilitate trade-offs between the various dimensions, the various domains, trading off between environment and human health and economics, being able to try not to trade off, but to try to do things that will get all of these, move ahead in all of these areas. The temporal multi-generational approach, yes, we really do that, but it's not really part of our concept. The global dimension, which is crucial in this, and the anticipation of disasters, and of trying not only to mitigate a disaster, but to have us be able to prepare for the next disaster at the same time. I'd like to add a community aspect to it and point out that when we talk about sustainability or public health, we're talking very often about the targets that are individuals. So you can define aging as being basically a loss of resilience. I mean, it's a common part of aging is that we've got a downhill trajectory in our resilience. I'm less able to withstand, say, a flu in terms of my cardiovascular pulmonary function than I was 40 years ago. And obviously, you can go down and up in that, but the trajectory is obviously downhill. We're having lots of trouble. Global climate change, other issues, our human impact on the environment in the various biomes. Biomes are a fancy word to describe deserts, forests, and depending on who's defining it, 5 or 6 major biomes. And we've got a real problem there which we must deal with that is not only a biome problem, but a problem for human health. There we're going downhill. We have to fight to reverse that. But I would argue that communities are really where we need to think about resilience. There's no inherent down, and there's no inherent up. It depends on what we do. And we as individuals, it's not this broad global climate change or something. There's an opportunity using social capital to make us go up rather than down. Now, I put in social capital in the midst of a whole bunch of different arrows. You can put other things in there. I can put environmental justice in there. There's lots of things we can put in there. But the point is that there's lots of things that move into our social capital that really affect how well our communities function. And that gets us down to the Gulf Region Health Outreach Program. Our Gulf states, the areas that have been hit so hard by the Deepwater Horizon, by Rita, by Katrina, are areas that already start with lots of vulnerability. They have some of the poorest health rankings in our country, and the coastal areas that we'll be talking about are areas that tend to be worse among the state, within each state, than the rest of the state. So what's the Gulf Region Health Outreach Program? Well, as I'll give a little more detail. It's $105 million for 5 years that is funding a whole series of different projects with different organizations. I won't go through them all. You will hear about these projects, or at least parts of these projects, from some of the subsequent speakers. But the goal is to put together mental and behavioral health and primary care and environmental health in a community with community input to develop healthier, resilient communities through regional partnerships. Well, how do you do that? I mean, that's a nice goal. I don't think anybody's going to say, well, that's a bad goal. How do we do this? Well, you have 4 integrated projects. Three of them were already, in a sense, there, the mental and behavioral health, primary care, environmental health, and a community health worker component. It was developed out of the Deepwater Horizon Medical Benefits Class Action Settlement. That's $7.6 billion, of which $105 million goes to this program. It's fascinating to me, being involved in it, to see the two groups of lawyers, the plaintiffs and the defendants in this thing, who are at each other's throat for every buck in that rest of that $7.6 billion, see this as their legacy, as doing something good that's really going to stay behind, and are just they're superb in collaboratively, collegially working with the folks involved in the program. We've already spent $53.9 million of this $105 million. The target beneficiaries of the outreach program are residents, especially the uninsured and medically underserved, of 17 coastal communities and parishes. And in these four states, if you think your community's been left out, well, I'm sorry, the judge told us exactly which of the 17 counties are going to be and parishes are going to be involved, and that's exactly where we're working. And we're going to inform residents about their own health and provide access to skilled frontline providers who are supported by networks of specialists. And we're going to improve the resilience. We're going to be embedded in and complement existing efforts. We're not going to replace anybody. We're not trying to supplant any of the existing efforts. Our goal is to complement them. We can involve the local communities. And we're going to focus on activities to produce sustainable benefits. And sustainability is easy to describe in part for our program because we're only going to have 5 years. And sustainability is basically what's there after the 5 years and this program ends. And if nothing left, so we've just spent the money and there's nothing you can point to that's been developed because of it, then this has not been a program that's promoted sustainability. As you'll hear, we do a lot of there's primary care community health clinics involved, there's mental and behavioral health expertise, there's environmental health expertise, and there's community health workers who are being trained. And it's being done with a collaboration among lots of different institutions. I could go through and list them here, but I think you can read them off more quickly than I can list them. And we hope at the end that we do end up making a difference in terms of resilience, sustainability, prevention, public health, help with adaptation and mitigation, and all of these things that we'll put together. I think that we need to be careful about not trying to be too precise when we go and try to help the community. I think we understand what the community needs are. The community understands better than we do. We have to listen and learn and be able to approach it. And we have to remember that we're working out things in a world in which here are, in my last slide, are just the number of deaths and homeless, roughly speaking, of two major ongoing disasters. This is our Haiti earthquake and its sequelae, which still are with us, and this is the civil war in Syria. We have lots of reasons to want to be able to use public health concepts for resilience, sustainability, prevention, for all of these different issues that occur around the world. Thank you.